Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Divination. Divination is a podcast and video show by Elegant Themes, the creators of Divi, the ultimate WordPress theme and visual page builder. The goal of Divination is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller, and as your host, it's my job to facilitate that success by having various guests from the Divi and wider WordPress community on the show to share their stories and experiences with you. In this episode, I'll be talking with Michelle Noonan, the creator of Divi Soup and Divi Academy. She's one of just a handful of people that I'm aware of in the Divi Nation who are making their living by teaching Divi, as opposed to selling Divi themes and plugins or Divi-related services like designing or developing websites. When we caught up on Skype, Michelle shared with me how she got started, what she focuses on as a Divi educator, and some tips for anyone looking to follow in her footsteps. I hope you enjoy listening in. Here's our conversation. Michelle, welcome to Divi Nation.
Hi, Nathan. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. We were just chatting beforehand, but I want to say it on the record for everyone to hear. We tried to do this over 6 months ago before the launch of our big blog series, Divi 100. And it was when we did our first pre-interview and we had to postpone for a very long time. So thank you for coming back around, circling back around and coming on the show. It means a lot.
No, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So one thing, as you know, since you just told me that you're an avid listener, I like to start the show out by letting people, you know, introduce themselves and give a little bit of detail about what it is that they do. So tell us all who you are, where you're from, and kind of what your projects are relevant to Divi, of course, in this space.
Well, my name is Michelle Noonan, and I'm from London in the UK. At the moment, I run Divi Soup and Divi Academy, both of which are basically learning resources for web designers and do-it-yourselfers using Divi. So Divi Soup is a tutorial-based site where I try to make the tutorials as easy as I can for the end user to understand and to implement on their own Divi builds. And Divi Academy is a online course and soon-to-be membership website, again, for the same audience. Most of my readers and users are more sort of beginners to novice level. And I try to focus on CSS mainly because that's, you know, that's what gets me excited. So I like the design side. I like to try where I can to do whatever I can with CSS without having to use anything else, you know, try to avoid plugins and other scripts. And I don't always achieve it, but a lot of the time I do. So yeah, that's what I like to do.
Awesome. So with all that going on, you got, sounds like two big projects, lots of content to create. I know you're heavily involved with the community, in Facebook and on different blogs. Yeah. What is your day to day like? What's a typical day in your world like?
Well, at the moment, it's get up and I normally check my emails and Facebook for about half an hour to an hour. I do get up quite early and then I'm getting the kids ready for school and taking them to school. And I have quite a long commute at the moment just because of where we're living. So that takes quite a while. And then I'll either work in Starbucks, which I do quite a lot so that I don't have the long commute backwards and forwards from the kids' schools. And when I'm not, if my husband's picking the kids up, then I'm at home. But either way, I'm creating content most of the time now. I don't actually take on any clients anymore. And I'm really focused on creating the learning resources for the community. So I have a couple of clients that I still sort of maintain for, but it's, you know, it's really sort of not very much at all, just plugin updates and things like that. So yeah, basically all day I'm trying to help out in the community as much as I can, where I have time, answering questions and, you know, trying to sort solve people's CSS problems. And the rest of the time, I'm just playing with Divi, really. At the moment, I just pick a module and try and create something. I might go surfing for some inspiration on Pinterest or Dribbble or something. But yeah, it's all about the content at the moment.
That sounds a lot like my world. So I want to go into a lot more detail there, but let's take a step back for a moment and get some sort of context here. When did you get into, you know, front-end development, creating websites, WordPress, all of that? What was that journey like? What did you do before and how did you get into it?
Well, I actually started creating websites in the late 90s on GeoCities. Mm. That was my first website.
Hey, I remember those. Yeah. I made some of those. Lots of flashing GIFs and cartwheeling cats and stuff like that.
So I taught myself HTML and Flash, Macromedia Flash as it was then. And I was using those to create websites. And I think I used to use an old program called Coffee Cup HTML, I think it was called, an old free HTML editor. So I learned a lot from that. And then I'd always sort of kept an interest in that while I was working in marketing for my day job. And I'd always kept an interest in that, and I'd always in my day jobs been the one responsible for the websites for the companies that I work for, and then one day we needed a new website for the company that I was working for, and things had moved on quite a lot, so I wanted to build it on a content management system. So I looked at WordPress, Joomla and Drupal, and I felt at the time that Joomla had what I needed for what I wanted to do. So I taught myself Joomla, and I developed in that for about 7 years, on and off, for various different, you know, on the side clients, if you like, and also sort of the companies that I work for. And then sometime, I think it was February 2015, my brother-in-law wanted a new website for his removals business, and obviously family, you know, do it for free. But I just, developing Joomla takes, it's quite time consuming. So I thought I'd have a look at WordPress to see if that would be a quicker option and also simpler for them to manage themselves as well, because Joomla is quite technical, the back end. I don't think it's that user friendly for clients. So I installed WordPress, opened it, and was just like, oh my God, it can't be this easy. It was just, compared to Joomla, it was just so intuitive. It was unbelievable. So I don't think I actually opened Joomla after that, apart from to update some client sites. I just switched and that was it. No looking back.
I'm in the process of migrating a Joomla site to WordPress right now, and I can't wait to get away from that thing.
Yeah, painful. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are some great things. I love, you know, with Joomla, you have real power over access roles things like, you know, conditional widgets and menus, just, you know, as core, which you don't get with WordPress to such an extent. So I think it's powerful, more powerful in some ways, but you know, when you're working with clients and the client's going to want to manage it themselves, WordPress just beats it hands down.
Yeah, my issue is it's a community website. So the website needs to be something that, you know, end users can log into and create content and stuff like that. And it just is a nightmare for them. Like every time they log in, they're completely lost. They don't know, you know, what's going on. So, so getting into WordPress is going to be... But let's talk about you some more. So you got into WordPress, and what was the time frame like, or what was the work like that you were doing in WordPress up until you got started using Divi? Because now basically everything you're doing that I'm aware of is kind of Divi centered. So what was that process like?
It's actually always been Divi.
Oh.
I think you guys were the first theme developers that I found when I was looking for themes. And I just signed up for you guys straight away. I think I found Fusion that I really liked. So I signed up with you guys and I downloaded Fusion, and I tried Nexus as well, which I really liked as a magazine theme. And then I found Divi. I think you may have just released a new update to Divi, so it sort of popped up. But I checked my files before we started talking, and it was 2.3 is my earliest Divi version. So I think maybe I downloaded it and then you guys released 2.4. I'm not sure.
2.4 was a huge update. Yeah.
So I think I started with 2.3 and then, you know, just before the 2.4 update. Yeah, and that was it. I never even looked at another thing.
Awesome. So yeah. Tell us about getting started. So with Divi Soup, is that always been your big project? I know it is now. Divi Soup and Divi Academy.
Divi Soup was first. I knew that I wanted to blog about Divi, but I just didn't know what it was going to be. I knew I wanted to do tutorials and I had some in mind, but I didn't know what the site might evolve to. So I thought that soup would be a good name because you can kind of chuck anything in a soup and it'll taste okay.
Love that.
So I thought, yeah. And the thing is, it's funny because it's, you know, like if you're starting a new business or you're starting a new project and you go to look for a domain name and like everything's gone. Mm-hmm. at the time, everything was available for Divi, and it was just like there was too much choice. I didn't know. So
you wanted it all, so you threw it in a soup.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's how that came about. But yeah, it was the start of the blog, and I also wanted, because I was building a child theme at the time, so I wanted somewhere to be able to sell that. Basically launched January 2016. So wow. It's just over a year old now.
Well, tell me about the revenue from this site. I mean, you sell child themes, you do affiliate stuff, both, I'm assuming, affiliate resources for yourself, and then you allow people to be affiliates of your own.
Yeah.
And you sell coursework. So what is the... You don't have to give numbers. I'm not asking you to tell numbers, but what does that look like? I mean, what kind of, where's the bulk of your revenue coming from? How did you approach prioritizing different things? What have you learned? Just tell us a bit about that, because I don't think a lot of people have this kind of setup right now, which I'm really impressed with.
Thank you. I'd always wanted, after starting Divi Soup and the amazingly overwhelming positive response that I got from the community, and how much better I felt working and doing that kind of stuff than I did working with clients, there was a point where I just thought, I just want this. I wanted to do this full time. I wanted to sort of, you know, wind down my client work and try and increase the learning stuff. So probably around April or May, I think, last year, I started thinking about creating a child theme course. And I put the feelers out for that, and everyone was really responsive that they'd really like to see that. So at that point, I set up Divi Academy sort of in the background to house the courses, because Divi site's a multi-site, and I've got all of my child themes on there. So I didn't want Divi Soup to get too much of a monster of an install, if you know what I mean.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
So I separated the academy out and put the courseware on there. So Divi Soup, the revenue from that is, like you said, it's child themes. I don't sell a huge amount on there, but I don't mind sharing figures, actually. Last month I did about £1,000 in child themes on Divi Soup. And then in affiliate income, I may get anything from sort of $200 to $500 a month. That always comes through in dollars. And then the courses, they launched. So the first one launched in August. That was the child theme course, launched in August last year. And then I had loads of requests for CSS training. So I started to develop the CSS course, and I think I launched that in November last year. And then I reopened the child theme course at the end of the year as well. That now is the majority of my income. That's about, I think that was about 55,000 just from those courses last year. So yeah, it's just amazing.
That is awesome.
And I have no clients. As I said, I've got a couple that I maintain for, but I wouldn't call them clients. I'd call them friends because they're so lovely. And I have one client that I do child themes for. But apart from that, yeah, it's all the learning stuff. And I'm so happy now that I can not have to worry about taking on clients and just focus on, you know, helping people grow their business through the resources.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. And your daily how often do you blog just on your free content on your kitchen?
On the free content, I try to do, initially I was doing roughly once a week, but obviously as things progress, you know, time gets taken up with other stuff and it's sure. more difficult. I try to do fortnightly. At the moment, I'm just finishing off the membership, ready for launch on Monday. So, I'm a bit behind in content. So the last few ones have been the small tutorials, which I call quick snacks, which are basically sort of code snippets just to achieve things that are, you know, that people post about often in the groups and stuff. So I try fortnightly, but once the membership's launched and that's all calmed down, I hope to get back to fortnightly on Divi Soup, on the free stuff. Yeah.
And what kind of, do you find that that's actually the primary channel for your promotion, or do you have another means of drawing people into your premium content?
No, Divi Soup, people find me through the groups or, you know, through Google, through finding Divi Soup. Yeah. That's generally, that's where people find me. I'm very focused on making sure that I continue that free content because it's just, you know, the response you get from the community, when you post something that they've been struggling with for ages and haven't found a solution, it's just amazing. You know, everyone's so grateful. It's just, yeah, it's lovely. It sort of makes me smile every day.
Well, I'm really curious we've shared a lot with people who are in the community interested in starting their own design business or development business or taking on client work or maintenance work or this or that. But I don't think that we've ever talked to someone specifically about creating a Divi educational business. And that seems to be where you're going. And with the imminent launch of Elegant Themes' own marketplace, which I talked about in a post not too long ago, the audience for this is going to expand greatly. So anybody doing what you're doing, yourself included, are going to have the full reach of what we can give you behind you. So, you know, however many people you're getting now, we can add, you know, a couple hundred thousand people to that by putting your content in our marketplace. So we're excited to do that for the community. And I would imagine that as that opportunity opens up, more people are going to want to take the path that you're taking right now. So can you maybe talk about what that path might be, kind of like give people some guideposts as to, if this is something you're interested in, here's a path I would recommend that you try to develop or try to take yourself down.
Yeah, sure. I think the first thing that you need to do is you need to establish yourself as an authority, basically, because, you know, in order for you to try and build a business like this and for you to sell to people, that they need to know you and they need to trust you. So there is quite, I think, a long, you know, it's taken me a year to get where I am, which is actually, you know, in business is not that long. That's actually quite quick. But I would say, you know, start blogging, start putting out resources for free that help people, pay attention to the community, the Facebook community where, you know, the Divi people hang out, pay attention to what they're asking for. I think a lot of the reason that my stuff is so well received is that I look for questions that are repeated in the groups and try and find a solution for that. So yeah, you've really got to sort of stay abreast of what the community wants, help where you can, you know, answer people's questions wherever you can. And you know, they'll get to know you and they'll get to understand that, you know, you have skills in certain areas, and be yourself, because a lot of teaching people is they have to connect with you as a teacher. You know, I've you can do 100 courses, but if you don't connect with the teacher, if you don't like the way they teach, if you don't, you know, feel that kind of trust there, then it's not going to work. Mm. So you need to sort of build that audience. And no one's, you know, not everyone's going to like you. Not everyone's going to like what you do. Not everyone's going to like your personality. You know, you can't please everyone. But, yeah, I think the first step is building that audience and, you know, having that trust with them. And then involving them and talking to them and finding out what they need, and then you can start to craft your products based on, you know, what your audience is asking for.
Now maybe you can speak to this, but from an outside perspective, it seems to me that one thing that has really been working for you is a real focus on presentation and making sure that everything that you create under your umbrella of Divi Soup has the same theme, the same motif, and a consistent voice. And also, as part of that, you know, you've also developed or included this sort of super clarity and simple to understand, you know, like way of writing, you know, very commented code, very easy to understand instructions, posts that are formatted the same way every time. Can you maybe speak to the impact that that's had on the work that you've been doing?
Yeah, I think it's two things really. I've always been a teacher in some shape or form throughout my career. I've always sort of taught something or been the person in the business that, you know, people go to for technical help and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I kind of have that mentality anyway. And I've also been in marketing for most of my career. So obviously sort of brand consistency is something that that I understand, and I try to, you know, try to sort of keep consistent. But I'm also an awful perfectionist, and I find it very difficult to press publish. But yeah, it's in terms of the keeping everything sort of commented and simple and step by step. I just think the majority of people just learn better that way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very difficult following tutorials sometimes because things are missed out. You know, if you miss one little thing out, it can impact the whole thing. And from starting off before really getting into the tutorials, building child themes, it's the same thing with child themes and with tutorials, really, is you're always going to get someone come back to you for support or questions or customization. So the clearer you can make it, the more you can comment your code, mm-hmm. the easier that you can make it to understand, the easier it's going to be for the end user to achieve the result they want, and the less sort of support requests you're going to get, you know, after it's published. And you know, as anyone that develops child themes knows, it's, you know, support requests take up a lot of time. So yeah, minimizing that as much as you can is major. But it also, you know, if someone follows one of your tutorials and it was, you know, super easy for them to do and they got a good result, they're going to come back.
Yeah.
You know, if it's
share it most likely.
Them, yeah, hopefully share it, absolutely. But, you know, if it's difficult, if it doesn't work or, you know, something like that, then you may have lost them forever, sort of thing.
So, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, can you maybe share a little bit about your process for coming up with all the content? I mean, if you're creating content as much as you are, you know, I'm sure at a certain point the well of requests or repeat questions sort of dries up. I mean, speaking from experience, I know it does. So. Yeah. What do you do when you're scraping the bottom of the barrel to still come up with content that people find useful?
When I don't know what to do, when inspiration is just not there, I'll open Divi and I'll, you know, add a new row and click to add a new module, and I'll just look at the modules and I'll just think, right, what can I play with? Mm. So I'll just load up a module and I'll go in, I'll put some dummy content in, and I'll just start playing with it and see what I can potentially create. Yeah. You know, I'll go on Pinterest or Dribbble and look for some inspiration. One thing I've been trying to do a lot lately is you can go on like Timpanus and Codrops and find some great code, and even like Codepen, mm-hmm. find some great code for effects. But if you're, apart from sort of pasting that into a text or a code module, it's not going to work with Divi.
Right.
And
And even sometimes going into the code module, it's still not going to work right. I mean, that's, yeah, we just did a couple tutorials where you need a code generator to like properly format that code for the code module. So it's not going to be a straight copy paste.
It's never a straight copy paste. And, you know, a lot of people don't know where to put, you know, they don't know where to put the different pieces of code. So what I've been trying to do lately is to really use the modules and the functionality that's already within them to minimize the sort of maintenance of the effect. So, you know, you can create something just in sort of raw HTML in a text module and it looks amazing, but most people are going to be passing those sites onto their clients. And, you know, going in and editing that HTML and changing things is going to be difficult for them. So I'm trying very much to use the modules and use the existing fields within the modules and, manipulate those so that maintenance-wise, you know, in the long term, people can just go in and change the title and the background image and stuff like that and everything still works.
That's something I found, too, is when we pass off Divi layouts and stuff, if we've done something kind of creative with a text module and some custom HTML with inline styles, a lot of times what happens is the person on the receiving end of that will load it up, click on the visual editor, and all of a sudden
and all the text strips. That is the worst. I'd have to put like do not edit in visual mode. But yeah, I've started actually putting in empty classes in like span and paragraph tags and stuff to try and stop WordPress stripping it out. So,
It's a challenge because, I mean, there is a lot of really cool creative stuff you can do that way. But like you said, at the end of the day, when you hand it off, really what it has to be, it has to be so simple and so intuitive that there's no messing it up. Because once they mess it up, again, you're getting that support request. It's sucking your time away, stopping you from creating new things. So that's, I think that's a great tip to take to heart when it comes to Divi tutorials, is like try to think about the maintenance of of that tutorial and or a resource.
Well, the thing is as well, sometimes like you created it 6 months ago and you're like, oh, how did I do that? You know, I have the worst memory as well. So I'm like, oh God, I've got to go and read all the code and work out what I did. I can't remember.
Know what you mean. Fun. Especially if you're using one or two demo sites to create everything, and then you may need to do something that requires that you undo something else that you did.
Yeah.
And then you go back and you're like, oh man, now I have to like recreate that exact demo in order to answer this person's question.
Half the time I can't even find the demos. I can't remember which site I built them on. So.
Well, I think we're running short on time. I could pick your brain about content all day because you're in my world right now, but we do have to kind of wrap it up. So try and think about a good parting thought. As you know, that's something that I like to do, is kind of end on a parting thought. So let's talk about maybe some big broad strokes that people interested in getting into the content game can take. And I'm thinking specifically on the practicality side. I mean, you've given a lot of great advice on the concepts and the ways that you find content to write about. But let's talk about people who maybe don't have the means to just quit everything right now and create content. What are a good few broad stroke things that they can do business-wise to transfer themselves from service-based or client-based work into content and educational work?
Yeah, sure. I talked about this actually with some of my child theme course students. And what you have to do, regardless of how busy you are, is you have to put time aside for your side project. Mm. So initially, I used to save Fridays for my Divi Soup stuff. And I wouldn't do any client work on a Friday. And that was just my time to be able to focus on what I wanted to do, child themes, tutorials, whatever it was I was doing. And then gradually, the more sort of content you create, and as revenue starts to come in from that content, you can then sort of gradually increase your sort of side project time and decrease your client time until you get to sort of a point. You know, I got to a point where I was like 50-50 clients and you know, my own stuff. And then, you know, eventually if you keep at it and, you know, you're putting out good content and you're getting a good response from that, you know, then eventually you'll be able to go, you know, 100% doing what you want and not being dictated to by lovely clients.
Well, that sounds like a fantastic end point. Michelle, again, thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate you taking the time and circling back around, like I said at the beginning. It was great to have you.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, that's all for this episode of Divination. As always, I just want to give another big thank you to our guest, Michelle Noonan, for coming on the show. If you have any questions about the topics that we discussed in this episode, feel free to leave them in the comments section on the Elegant Themes blog. I've made sure that Michelle is aware of this episode going live, and I'm sure that she will be more than happy to drop by and answer any questions that she can. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. I look forward to seeing you around the community, and as always, I'll be back right here next week with another episode of Divination.